Good morning, fellow redeemed. Let us pray. O Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your risen Son and Word are the truth. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to guess that many of you in this room know who Dr. Robert Bruce Banner is. I know the celebrities here from last week, Friday's news, know who Dr. Banner is. He's that mild-mannered physicist who had a gamma bomb explode on him accidentally, and as a result, he now turns into the Incredible Hulk. And that change occurs in him when he becomes angry. And when that change happens, we see that there's a change from that anger, both physically and emotionally. And so if you know the Incredible Hulk, you know his catchphrase is, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." Today, you and I, we're going to look at change. A change that is big, it's huge, but actually it's the polar opposite of that of the Incredible Hulk. It is a change that every single man, woman, and child needs. It is the change that Easter makes. We do so this morning by hearing the words recorded by St. Luke in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter. We hear the first 11 verses. St. Luke writes, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. And so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered to him four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly.' And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' And so he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them out of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.'" The last time we, as in the church, took a good look at St. Peter, it was Good Friday. He was trying to hang out in the shadows, be not seen in the courtyard. He was trying to be invisible as he hung out by the guard's fire. But then someone noticed him, and then another, and then another. And as a result, then Peter denied Christ, and then again and again. He was scared. He was worried what was going to happen to himself. He was worried for his life. And then, of course, then Jesus came walking through the courtyard, looked at him, the rooster crowed, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now we find St. Peter here. James, the brother of John, not Dr. Schmeling's James, but this is the one, the brother of St. John, he's been killed. He's the first martyr of the church. He's killed at the hands of Herod Agrippa I. Herod Agrippa I's grandfather was Herod the Great, the one that tried to kill Jesus and the babies in Bethlehem. His uncle was Herod Antipas, the one that beheaded St. John the Baptizer. I'm going to argue this morning that the Herodians who ruled in that area of the world, they make a family like the Kardashians seem pretty tame. The Herods that were ruling in that part of the world, they were crazy. They were local. And so now Herod had went out and he saw that everybody liked him. Popularity was on the rise in the poll. So he went out and he arrested Peter just for the sake of popularity so that he could kill him and appease the Jews. If you think back to where we find St. Peter on Good Friday and what's happening to him there, and you look at him now right before his execution, you would think, humanly speaking, if there was a time to be illogical and irrational and panic, now would be that time. But that's not what we see. No, Luke records that on the eve of Peter's execution, he is in chains between guards and he is sleeping. He was at this point in his life now confident that his life was in the loving arms of his Savior. What had happened? We see the result here of the change of Easter. That's what happened. We're told by Luke in his gospel that before Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he went privately and spoke with St. Peter. And there, when he found the repentant Peter, he reassured him of the forgiveness that he had won through his life and through his death on the cross. It was the forgiveness in Christ's Easter resurrection that gave Peter the power and the boost in the faith that brings him to the point where he is now able to sleep before he's going to be possibly brutally killed. It, arguably the darkest moment in his life up to this point in time. Peter now knew that Jesus had lived and died for him. Peter knew that through Christ's perfect life and death, the power of sin, death, and hell had been destroyed. Peter knew now by faith that no matter what, his Savior was going to deliver him, even if it was most likely in one of two different ways. Sunday's over. The world has went back to what it was before Easter. Liars have went back to lying. Murderers have went back to murdering. Cheaters have went back to cheating. Husbands and wives have went back to arguing and fighting. Children have went back to, if they ever actually stopped, being disobedient to their parents and those in authority. The world has returned to where it was before Easter, because for most of this world, Easter is just another day on the calendar. But it's not another day. It was a real day that occurred almost 2,000 years ago when the Son of God rose triumphant from the grave. It was a day when Jesus did descend into hell and he preached a sermon to the devil and the damned. It was a day when we see that God the Father accepted everything that Christ had done on behalf of the world. It was a day that has changed this world, and it is a day that has changed you and me. But the unfortunate thing is too often you and I don't act as if we have been changed by Easter. Since Easter, you and I, we've went back to our old ways too. We went back to mugging our employer and our professors with our laziness. We went back to killing people with hate-filled speech and actions, our friends and our family. You and I, we should, after Easter, actually be the spiritual equivalent of that brilliant, mild-mannered Bruce Banner, but instead, too often, we are much more spiritually looking like the Incredible Hulk. And see, that's why, my friends, that's why we need to look at St. Peter on a day like today. When we confess our sins, we have that same forgiveness that Jesus offered Peter on that first Easter morning. Easter changes us because it assures us that our faith is in Christ, the true Son of God. Easter changes you and me because it declares to us that Jesus has made full satisfaction for every single thing you and I have ever done wrong. Easter changes us because through faith, you and I know that even though you and I are going to suffer through this veil of tears for some time, in the end, we too are going to rise on that last judgment day. Easter changes us through faith because we know that Christ's resurrection gives you and me the strength to continue living that new, changed Easter life. Now, Peter wasn't able to have that new, changed Easter life all on his own. He had to do the same thing that all believers have to do to live in that Easter resurrection and in that changed life. Luke, back in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, records, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." That is the only way that you and I can continually have Easter's change in our life, day after day, month after month, year after year. We need to follow the example of the early church of St. Peter, and once again, day after day, we need to devote ourselves to the regular use of God's word in his sacrament. Think of it this way. The only way that Bruce Banner can control the Hulk is by controlling his emotions. The only way that you and I can continue to control sin in our life and live in that Easter change is by using the only antidote that God has ever given for us in that regard, and that is by continually returning to God and getting his strength and power in his means of grace, in his word, and in his sacrament when it's offered to us. The change that Easter makes to some may not seem as impressive as watching this average-looking guy turn into this big, green, raging Hulk that's 10 foot tall on the big screen. But you know what? It is just impressive. In fact, it's even more awesome than that. Think about where you were in your life and what Easter has done to change you and does for you. Where were you a year ago in your life, or months ago in your life, or 5 years, or 10, or 15, or 25, or for some of you, 60 or more years ago? Where were you going? And now think about where each of us is going as we sit here today. The change that Easter makes in giving us the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is truly awesome, and it is the greatest blessing that you and I can have and continue to have in our life, day after day, year after year. May the Holy Spirit continue then to guide us and to help us and to keep that Easter change alive and well in us with the means of grace each and every day of our life. To God be the glory. Amen.